Blog Talk Radio.
Beauty Shop for the Soul is a magnificent transformation to restore, cleanse, and tap into the essence of who you truly are. Beauty Shop for the Soul gives you the experience of a new makeover from inside out. Beauty Shop for the Soul was a universal gift to be birthed into the world to host Joanne Buckner. Joanne received this incredible gift through a meditation to share with others to awaken the soul. Beauty Shop for the Soul is a true magical process of the divine being you truly are. Now sit back, relax, and let Beauty Shop for the Soul take you on a new, exciting journey with host Joanne Buckner.
Welcome on this journey. Last week I talked a bit about imagination, which is a tool for transformation, and we all have this ability, and in fact we all use our imagination actually on a regular basis. However, much of it is done unconsciously, and the key to divine well-being is to use the approach of conscious consciousness to activate this tool that actually has a power center within our body. But enough of that for now. This is going to be continued at another time. Last week, I had anticipated a call in from someone who professionally uses his imagination to earn his income and to support others in their careers and in their calling. He's a writer. And I think a phenomenal one. Somehow there was, ironically, a glitch somewhere along the line that prevented this gentleman and his wife from being on the call. But they have graciously agreed that they would, in the not-too-distant future, be on the call. And so I look forward to that. I anticipate knowing in advance so that I can inform you. And then you can call your family and your friends or associates, your colleagues, and inform them. Because this is a technique that's widely used. It's the same technique. I don't know that it was used in the same way, but Walt Disney was told in high school that he had no imagination and that he should just find a simple job that was at the level of his ability. Well, little did his teacher know that she talked to one of the most imaginative and one of the most creative people on the planet. But again, we're going to talk about that in the future. We had a session last week, and you can tune into it in the archives and listen to what was shared there, although there was more to be said than we had time available. Today, I want to talk to you about the critical voice that all of us have. So, I'm Joanne Buckner, your host on this journey, the founder and creator of Beauty Shop for the Soul. And what is Beauty Shop for the Soul? Some of you who are not familiar with the program, that have not been on before, may be asking that very question. Well, program of transformation. In the traditional beauty shop, it is the hair that is being transformed into a style that is befitting and becoming for the one who is getting there. Head done, so to speak. Well, in Beauty Shop for the Soul, it literally is your head that's being done. But you get to be the one, as an individual, who decides that, first of all, you want to have that opportunity and that experience. And then, with the assistance of the program, Beauty Shop for the Soul, you do the assessment, which I just spoke of. And we get to identify areas just as the therapist does in Beauty Shop. What is the condition of your thinking that has created the circumstances of your life that you would want to change and transform? And in some cases, it may not be, it will always be a transformation as we evolve. However, you could be quite happy with the circumstances of your life as they are. but just realizing that there's infinitely more available, whether we are talking about your health, your finances, your relationship, whatever it is, in the context of infinity, there's more. And so Beauty Shop for the Soul will facilitate through this process and procedure that is done in the traditional shop that identifying through assessment where you are in consciousness, and then the shampooing is equivalent to a purification process, clearing out those thoughts, those beliefs, those ideas that no longer serve you and may never have served you, so that you create the space for a new style. And then you have to have a conditioning, because when things have been off-conditioned for a while, then, of course, generally, even though you see some immediate transformation, it's likely that it's going to need to be reinforced. In the same way that when you go to the beauty shop, you can come out really looking glamorous, but it won't last you for a lifetime. Neither will one trip to Beauty Shop for the Soul. But the ultimate goal is for you to be able to take the ball and run with it, so to speak. You will be able to develop a toolkit. You could say a spiritual toolkit where you can do your own head. That's the ultimate goal. It's self-actualization, self-realization, and the process never ends. My goodness, that's probably a good thing. If you think about people that you know, that maybe you've known for years and in some cases decades, and they're still living in the past by 10 years, 20 years, 40 years ago. So those are people that after a while you've heard the same story over and over and over ad nauseum. So this process of unfoldment continues in the same way that we as, as human beings have evolved so much in the past 100 years, much more so seemingly, now I'm not speaking of the ancient cultures that we've heard about, but traditionally if you think about, or if I just think about my grandparents who were born in the late 1800s, the last 25 years of it, less than, and the fact that my grandparents, the women at least, never drove. Many of the streets were not paved in the towns that they lived in back in the 1880s and 1890s. And so they never had the modern conveniences of the electronic appliances that we have and so forth and so on. I don't need to recount all of that. It's just that we have evolved as a species and as a people, and the process continues on. And in Beauty Shop for the Soul, we are here to facilitate that process. And so today, what I want to talk to you about is that critical voice that we have, all of us have had at some point in our lives. We've used a critical voice, consciously sometimes, but more often unconsciously. I know that I can speak from my own personal experience about this, because I was actually raised in a household that were a large family of us, and my mother was a very strong disciplinarian, and so naturally as children we had our little squabbles and et cetera, but my mother was always quick to squash them, and the downside of that, of course, she was looking for peace and harmony as she was trying to deal with 9 children. We weren't all in that same age range at the same time, but over time, there was a lot to do. And during those early days, I can remember it took all day for her to just do the laundry and prepare food and et cetera, just because of the lack of what we now have and call modern conveniences. Anyway, one of the things that happened that we were trained was to not initiate conflict. My mother wanted no chaos in the household. And so we were trained if we had a dispute of some kind that seemed to be too intense or last too long, we were immediately told to put away whatever toy or game that had seemed to be the center of the dispute or the argument. We would have to put it away and then go and sit down and be quiet. And while that brought peace and quiet at that moment, it really didn't prepare us to deal with conflict. And I didn't realize that until many years later as an adult. So on the other hand, we were trained not to initiate conflict, especially at home, but outside of the house, we were trained to defend ourselves. If someone, if any of us or attacked us in some way, my mother trained us that we needed to defend ourselves. And so we were, what would you say? In fact, there was never even any question about it. I had a brother that was reluctant to defend himself, and he was generally defended by one of the other brothers, which disturbed my mother. And so under threat, this brother had to learn to take care of himself or face the consequences, and none of us wanted the consequence of him facing our mother. Not only that, the immediate consequence, and then it often turned out to be long-term because there were restrictions that were added on to that. So how I learned to defend myself, because I had very few physical confrontations as a child. However, if anyone approached me verbally and said things that I considered to be unkind, thoughtless, intended to be cruel or sarcastic, now it wasn't a lot of those, but it did happen, and maybe they were intended and maybe not, but I was always quick with an answer. And while some of my brothers, and I had six of them, got in physical altercations from time to time, as many boys would do, I rarely had those, but I hesitated not at all to verbally put somebody in their place. And because I did not use profanity, I didn't raise my voice, and it was, so it seemed to me that because I didn't initiate the conflict or the confusion, but I had been in some way affected by what someone was intending, it seemed as well to me, to do, I responded in accordance with the way that I had been trained. And it was years before I discovered that there was, in fact, another way. And the other way was to see people from a different perspective. First of all, people are so busy with their own lives all the time, whether they are effectively dealing with them or not, they're still busy with them, and quite often too busy to intend some of the things that our perception leads us to believe that they are intending. And so I continued with this style and this technique, and it was reinforced by some of my friends who had a different approach because they did talk loud or they did use profanity or they included many other things that would facilitate them coming out in a way that they perceived to be winning in those confrontations that were generally verbal. And it wasn't until an occasion I attended a conference and I saw a workbook. Actually, it was a book and a workbook, but the title caught my attention. And the title said, Me and My Big Mouth. So I picked up the book, and as I flipped through the pages, I literally saw myself in this book. And I realized now that the technique that I had used for decades up to that point was really not the way that I wanted to go in terms of my spiritual growth and development. And it was a Joyce Meyer conference, and it was her book written about her own life. But as I said, I saw myself in that book. And we can often, as we read stories, read the scriptures, watch a movie, we can, if we pay attention, see ourselves there. And a lot of times we do see ourselves and then just laugh it off. But in the context of evolution and the evolution of our soul, then we may want to begin to notice where we see ourselves and how we see ourselves and what does that actually mean to us. And so I began to use this, and I wish I could say that I did it effectively and efficiently every time, but the truth of it is I didn't. I'm still working on me. I'm still a work in process and in progress, and of course, you know, we teach what we need to learn. So I want to thank everybody who's listening because you're helping me to be more of me than I've ever been before, and hopefully this is a mutual reciprocal opportunity where those that are listening will begin to take a look at your life circumstances, at the incongruencies with your desires, with your aspirations, regardless of the area of your life. There's always something that you can do. And so you might begin to wonder, well, how do I know? Because sometimes, you know, if you were using strong language, if you are having physical confrontation, you would easily recognize, you know, that you are affecting yourself in a way that is not conducive to divine well-being. However, there are so many subtle ways that we affect others and ourselves, first of all, as well, because the original and everybody else gets the carbon copy. Those of you who are old enough to go back to when we used to have carbon copies of things that we wrote up, well, the original always, we get to keep that, and the carbon copy goes out because we have this opportunity to actually make that change. And so I want to share with you one technique, and there's always more than one way to do this. There's a scriptural prescription to eliminate the voice of criticism. It comes from Philippians 4:8, and it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, it's not likely that in the heat of the moment that you're going to think of whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely, just, and of good report. No. But if you were to set an intention and consider this every day, you could reflect on the day and at night as you're preparing for bed and review the day and review the activities and things that you were involved in, most particularly the things that came from your mouth, because it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, as a lot of people would have you believe. It's what comes out of the mouth. Or it is, you know, another adage that guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we know that the heart is a place of transformation. So, and it's also the place of memory. And so as we work with this understanding, we get to be prepared. And when unexpectedly these things occur, immediately you have some sense that you're off center, that perhaps there is no virtue in the thing that you would have said at another time, or that it actually wasn't true, even though Sam, you may have thought it was, that it wasn't lovely. You get to measure that in the same way that if you were building a construction, a house, that brick by brick, you have to be sure that it's laid in its proper place or you're going to have some problems with the structure. And so on a mental, emotional, physical basis, we have problems with our structure internally when we allow ourselves to react as opposed to respond. So from my own personal experience, I have been learning this and more and more every day, I'm better and better in every way, and that's my intention for you, and hence the reason for Beauty Shop for the Soul, which, by the way, anyone who's listening, if you want to share a comment or ask a question, push number one, and I'd just be glad to bring you on or call your friends and tell them to dial 646-200-4169 and push number one. And by the way, anyone that just came on, I mentioned that last week I didn't finish the presentation about imagination, and I had invited a couple to be on. The guy is a wonderful writer, and he was going to, so of course he uses his imagination, you know, that is his lifestyle, that is his source of income, and he also works with other people in the context of this. Well, I spoke to them, and they are actually going to, they committed to be on at another time, so I'll be informing you. The gentleman is going to be on. He has written books. He has written plays and movies, and I'm sure that you'll get some insight as well as some pleasure from listening to him. So what is this critical voice that we're talking about, and what else could we do to release that and clear the space for us to be downloaded with the purpose for which we come, with clarity? And when I say with which we've come, I mean in on the planet at this time. There's not a person on the planet that does not have a divine and perfect person. And so that critical voice is kind of like a nagging voice that just refuses to shut up on its own. And since everything that we do really some part of your of you as a whole being, then you are either consciously or unconsciously doing this. And on a subconscious level, it is only you who can tame it, who can quiet it down and finally clear it out of your system. So you say, well, how can I do that? Well, one of the techniques for doing that is called EFT. EFT is emotional field therapy, where we get to tap on the meridians in our body, because what happens as we have these irritations, annoyances, perceived or real, the body doesn't know whether you're watching a movie or whether you're just imagining things, and even you may imagine the wrong thing, but it doesn't matter whether it actually is true or not. What matters is how we tend to respond to life and how we tend to respond to it has some biochemical effects on us that over a period of time gets built up and accumulated and congealed in the tissues and cells in our body, so that it shows up in a way, maybe as migraine headache, it could be ulcers. There's so many ways that we may not have recognized or realized that we have been affected simply by the way we think critically about ourselves and others. Seeing as how we are made in the image and likeness of the Creator of all things and endowed with the ability to make choices, then we can choose how we respond to life, whether we are reacting or responding. And so in this EFT technique, I was first introduced to it. I was at a social function and actually had some physical pain in a part of my body, and that just happened to be a practitioner of EFT, which I had never heard of at that time. But she offered to assist me, if I would allow it, to alleviating this pain. And she began to explain to me the technique for tapping and the places, the meridians in the body on which I would, in this case, tap. And to my great surprise and gratitude, after about three rounds of tapping, which probably didn't take more than 15 minutes, this pain that I had been feeling the discomfort of for quite some time actually went away. So I was sold on emotional field EFT, on that technique. And so I began then to pursue that, and I've done workshops, and I've incorporated it. And for you who have yet to discover what it is, there's much information about it, and in a few minutes I'm going to share some a technique that is unique. Von Brock, who is a sports performance pioneer, she has taken the traditional EFT procedure and then modified it. Now, she studied with Gary Craig, who himself had a mentor that did thought field therapy. And Gary Craig simplified the thought field simplified it, and then made it popular. Now there are EFT practitioners all over the globe, really. And so you can find a lot of information about it on the web, and you may be amazed because it doesn't matter. It can be used for fear, anxiety, or manifesting health, almost anything, probably everything, if you understood the technique and were willing to take the time. And in fact, by your experience of how long it takes to transcend certain circumstances that create problems in your life, it may behoove you to take the time actually to discover and explore exactly how EFT can work and does work in your life. And so with Stacey Vaughn Rock, the interesting thing is that Stacey has said that after she was introduced to this process, she became inspired to work with this athlete. And so what she said is that, along with the neuroscientists of the day, that we have actually up to, some scientists say 50 trillion, some say 75, some say 100 trillion cells in our body, and that every single cell has up to 1 million cell receptor sites. It is the job of these cell receptors to take in nutrients, proteins, vitamins, and minerals to nourish each cell and to keep it in balance. And so Stacey has a book called Coming Back to Balance. She says it's the ultimate body and mind clearing program. Well, I've had an experience with Stacey as well in applying this technique, and I'm happy to say that it was very effective for the issue that I had at hand. And so I therefore want to share that with you today. And if we don't actually end up with enough time to go through the process or the procedure, then we will continue that next week at another time, you know. And so with this emotional field therapy for sports, Stephanie works with professional athletes as well as semi-professional high school and college, and is getting wonderful results. She deals more extensive body with the body system and the organs and tissues and cells of the body. Stephanie says that the hypothalamus releases a cascade of chemicals that are called peptides, that these peptides are short-chain amino acids that we experience as an emotion or a sensation. And everything starts from those emotions, and, of course, emotions or just energy in motion. The book is available on the web, Coming Back to Balance. In it, you'll find where it talks about the peptides dock onto the cell receptors site throughout our body and block these cells. My goodness. So nutrients, proteins, vitamins, minerals, all the things that we need, not just to survive, but to thrive or block. So when the chemical and emotion isn't naturally processed out of the cell receptor side, like it remains there indefinitely, we begin to accumulate them, and eventually these cell receptor sites shrink up and die, and the cells then divide. The body then makes more cell receptors for that same chemical emotion, and less. It makes less for nutrients, proteins, vitamins, and minerals, the very thing that we actually need. And so she says, that's why when it feels like sometimes that your problem is getting worse, guess what? It's not your imagination. Imagination was the subject of last week. It is an accumulation of those chemicals in your cell receptors, and it is a biochemical response that your body is having. And so with this protocol that Stephanie has, phenomenal, because, and by the way, keep in mind that you can go online and order this as an e-book. Now, by the way, I need to really say at this point, this is not recommended that you do these techniques instead of any medical care. If you're under the care of a medical doctor or a medical facility, do not stop what you're doing to do this. Just incorporate this with whatever you're doing. And then observe what happens to you as a result of that. So in these techniques, you simply just tap on different places in the body, your eyebrows, the side of the eyes, and I will elaborate on that when we actually begin to incorporate this probably next week. And it can be used for everything, for anxiety, for stress, for depression, negative thinking, you know, that critical voice that I just spoke of, anger and resentment, for grief and sadness. And there's a whole litany of things and areas that this could be used for. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain by doing this EFT technique. What makes it so unique, it seems to me, is the actual body systems and parts that Stephanie incorporates in her clearing of the energy and bringing the body back to balance. She actually literally speaks to the muscles of your body, the ligaments, the tendons, the joints. She speaks to the bone cartilage, the tissues, the nerves. And what really struck a chord with me more than the rest was she speaks to the fascia, and there's more areas of the body, the cells and fibers, et cetera. But what it brought to my mind was many years ago, I studied with a guy in San Francisco briefly. His name was Mir Snyder. And Mir Snyder was someone who was born blind and was able to cure himself of congenital blindness by discovering his body's own inner resources. And he has since taught thousands of others, some of which curable diseases. And through the techniques that Snyder taught them, they had healing. So I was blessed to be able to do workshops with Mir Snyder, and I've looked on the web. He's still around now. But he dealt, among many other things, with the fascia of the body. There was this marvelous technique that he used he only worked on the back with this. And what he would do is release the fascia that had been, I suppose you could say, tightened up. You know, it's around the bones and ligaments and muscles in the body. And this was such an extraordinary experience. I did this actually because I had such tenseness in my body. I didn't realize it as it was accumulating, but discovered it after. It was actually after the death of a son. And probably nearly a year later, I just, by accident, you could say, and of course, ultimately, there are none, but I happened to touch my back and was quite shocked to discover that it felt like a brick. Well, I knew that that was something that wasn't good. And I knew immediately that it was also tied in with the embodiment of grief that had settled into the tissues and cells in my body. Even though I looked normal and acted normal, I went to work, I walked and talked and laughed and did all the things that people normally do, but there was something on the inside of me that was communicating with me, and it took me a year to hear, that there was something that needed to be addressed. And this work that I had done with Mir Snyder, where it worked on the fascia in the body, was extraordinarily good, and it alleviated a lot of the tension, stress, and strain that I had. Now, Mir Snyder was, as I said, born blind, but through this experience, he had between births, and I believe, now this was back in the 80s, so I'm kind of stretching my memory here, gave him sight. But he was a determined kid and a determined young man. And so he set out on a mission to gain sight that he had never had. And by the time I met him, he actually could see. He began to have vision and sight when he was 17 years of age. And he discovered that the number of, what did he say, bones in the body, and that we only use so many of them. And I said bones, I meant to say muscles in the body. And so as he began to develop these muscles, function at a higher capacity that it had, and over time he began to be able to see first through the blur and then more clearly. And at the time that I met him in the 80s, he was able to walk across the street and see, you know, not 20/20 vision. I don't remember what the vision was, but it was phenomenal that he had been born blind and that he had had a series of surgeries, and none of them had worked. And I remember one of the ways that he was developing the muscles that he was able to use was that Neil Snyder could stand, put his hands on his hips, and pull his elbows toward the spine, and he could literally touch one elbow with the other. Try that and see how that feels. And in fact, can you do it? Well, the thing about it is, if you were to practice that incorporated with some breathing on a regular basis, say daily, that over time you would be able to go further and further in, or closer and closer with your elbows, and perhaps, who knows, what may happen over time. I know that in addition to the work that I did with Mir Snyder, I also used to teach a class which I called Learning to Be at Home in Your Body. And I worked with seniors at that time. And what I knew then and still know now is many of us know less about our bodies than we do anything else. You know, we can, and so often we're not home in our body. That's how you can be driving on the freeway or down the street and miss your turn and not even know it until you're past it, because you just left home. And when you're not at home, you have no idea what's going on at home, meaning in the body. So in this class, Learning to Be at Home in Your Body, we would do a voice vibration. We would do some breathing techniques. There were a number of things that we would do, and some of these seniors who were in their 60s, 70s, and some even in their 80s at that time. Initially, that one particular exercise, we would sit on the floor, do the breathing, and then bend. The intention was to bring your head as close to your knees, put your head on your knees, and then open your legs so that your head would touch the floor. And amazingly, I could do that at that time. I hate to tell you that I stopped. And unfortunately, I'm getting back into it, and you guys are going to be helping me as much as I intend to help each and every one of you who are listening. But what I want to tell you about these people who were in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, with a combination of the breathing work and the voice vibration and all of the other things, there was Feldenkrais movements and some yoga exercises and many other things. Initially, some of these women could only drop their head. In other words, when their chin was somewhere close to their neck, that was as far as they could go. However, with consistent practice, because they didn't just do it the one day a week when they came for this exercise of learning to be at home in their body, these women began to be able to go lower and lower and lower. It was so amazing, and they were so thrilled, enthralled, in fact, at what was happening to their bodies at a stage where they thought that the bodies would be functioning less, not more. And so the same thing is available to each and every one of you, that when you set an intention to be at home in your body, when you set an intention to recognize and release the critical voice that you have of yourself and of others, amazing things will begin to happen to you in your life. And so what I want to do, we are not going to go into that technique today. We will do it next week for EFT, Emotional Field Therapy. But I want to actually take a few minutes to invite you to bring some energy into your body. You know that everything is energy, the same energy that has always existed on the planet. Anywhere in the universe, it just transforms. It gets transformed, but it doesn't die. Energy never dies. And so according to these scientists, the same energy that permeated the body of Christ, Buddha, Krishna, the enlightened beings of the planet, at some point, that same energy flows through. What are we doing with that? In what way are we using it? Did we even know it? And now that it's being mentioned, do you believe it? It is done unto you as you believe. And so if energy never dies at any given moment, and since you don't know what moment, what energy is passing through you, then you could be mindful and just consciously practice the presence on a regular basis. So I'm going to invite you to take a deep breath. And when you take a deep breath, excuse me, keep in mind, let me get a sip of water here. When you take a deep breath, remember your tummy is going to expand and you will hold your breath and then gently release. So let's do that now. Breathe in and allow your tummy to expand. And breathe in again. And this time, let's release with a sound. We go back to the moment of creation when the earth was void and there was chaos. When the Creator spoke, it was the sound that created the first creation. God spoke. And then at some point as God went through the days of creation and ultimately, eventually, created man, and remember, every day at the end of the day, he declared that everything was good, everything that had been created, and that includes you and I and all of the creation. So as we are made in this image and likeness and endowed with this ability to declare goodness in our lives, how often do you look back on your day and declare it, decree that it was good, even though it may not have appeared to be so? All things work together for good. When things seem not to be good, it is that energy and essence, that intelligence in us that is bringing us back to center, giving us an opportunity to get back in alignment and become congruent with your true essence, with the higher part of you. And so, as you remember, after all was created, God then blew the breath of life into man. So I'm going to invite you to breathe in again. Notice your body. And we've got to breathe in again. And if there's any place in your body that seems to present some level of discomfort, direct this energy to that place, wherever it is. Energy knows what to do. So let's breathe in again. And so remember, when you think about form energetically, you put it in the freezer, it becomes ice, but it's still water. If you put it on the stove and turn the fire under it, eventually it will boil and become steam, but it's still H2O. And so the same thing is happening with the energy in our bodies. We have this opportunity and this privilege to transform this energy in a way that serves our divine well-being. So I'm inviting you to breathe in again. One of the experiences that occurred in the group where we were learning to be at home in our bodies was that with just 5 minutes of breathing a day, that for the women, their tummies began to flatten and the waist became smaller. That's a great benefit of no charge. How many of you out there would like to have a flatter tummy and a smaller waist? Well, the only way you can know this, 5 minutes a day. And if 5 minutes is a challenge, begin with 2 minutes and then increase it by a minute every 3 or 4 days until you get up to 5 minutes a day. Let's breathe in. Pay attention to your body. Check in and see wherever the discomfort is, if there's such a thing as a discomfort in your body. What is the message that your body is wanting to communicate to you? I've had the experience before of talking to my body, and my body revealing to me something that in my conscious waking state I was not aware of. In one particular case, it had to do with my leg, which was very painful, and particularly the step up and down. So as I began to talk to the intelligence in my body, I had a dream. And the dream said, you're not moving in the right direction. Now, that was an interesting, it was interesting, and it had not one thing to do with anything illegal or immoral or illicit. But it did have to do with following the purpose for which I had come in this incarnation. So my body is saying, my leg in particular, I carry you forward. In other words, where you're going to go, into the future. But since you are not in alignment with the purpose for which you come, I'm just not going to carry you anymore. And if you insist on not going and insist on trying to move forward, you'll just have more pain. And that was the beginning of my, you could say, career as a storyteller. Because I began then to pay attention to my body, for one, but also I began to explore what it was that I was not doing, that if I did it, it would alleviate, dissipate, and just eliminate this pain that I was having. And I recall a time in my early years as an elementary school student that I had wanted to be a storyteller. I had totally forgotten it was on the back burner in my mind, and through that investigation, it was brought forward. And as it was brought forward, I began then to cultivate the art of storytelling. It was the first method of teaching. It was the first method of healing. We just don't all do it professionally. But there are people, and I became a professional storyteller. So as I began to tell stories, and in fact, I used the technique of storytelling in writing as a therapy at another time when there was such a challenge in the environment that I was in on a daily basis. I chose that instead of using that critical voice to tell people off, that I would just go back to my desk and write a story about them. I found it pleasurable. It was productive. And one day, those stories will be in a book. Of course, I said that. But it has served a very high purpose for me in that it alleviated the stress and the strain and made it even pleasurable to write. And sometimes I would share the stories with other people there that I considered to have a personal relationship with. I didn't name the people by name, but what I found was that when I shared the experience or what I had written, that these people then I didn't confirm that they were correct, but they were correct in every situation without a name being attached to the story. They were able to identify them. So as you begin to look at the experiences that you're having, whether it is a physical, mental, emotional pain, whether it's with your finances, as you begin to look at patterns and paradigms in your life, you can begin to transform your life. And there are many techniques. One of them, as I mentioned, is first of all just an assessment. And so, you know, there are other scriptures like, call those things that be not as though they were until they are. So if you're experiencing something that does not bring you joy, peace, or happiness, you can call those things that be not as though they are, because you, within you, have a power. And there's been much written about that, but you can have your own experience of this by applying these techniques. And so today, I want to, as we take another couple of deep breaths, I'm going to share with you special treatment for you for this coming week for all of us. So let's take another moment of breathing in. And one more time. And so I invite you to sit back with your feet flat on the floor or the ground, wherever you might be, as long as you're not driving. And imagine that there is a string attached to the top of your spine that would just gently erect your spine. Your feet are flat. Your hands or arms are not crossed. In other words, you're allowing the energy to circulate freely in your body from head to toe through every part and particle of your body, energizing and harmonizing your body. Breathe in. And if it's comfortable, close your eyes. It's okay to have them open. There's no right or wrong here. You get to make the choice. So, for those of you who are not familiar with that terminology, treatment is simply just another word for prayer. It is like a recipe for prayer. You know that if you have a recipe, even if you've never made the product before, if you have the recipe, it will tell you the ingredients to use and the process and procedure with which you incorporate these ingredients so that you can produce a certain outcome, a cake, a pie, or whatever it is that you might be wanting to make. And so a treatment is a five-step program where you are really starting out only to convince yourself of the truth of who you are, because the creator of all things is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's no change there. It's just that we are opening up ourselves that we can receive the impress of the creator into, it's already there, downloaded in our bodies, so that we can have this recognition that anything that we could ever want or not want can be obtained or released by this recognition. And after the recognition, the next part of the recipe is the unification, knowing that you can never be separate, though you seem to behind lack or limitation or separation, there is ultimately none. And so we have a recognition and then a unification. And then the next part of the recipe is the realization. The realization that anything that you could ever want or need is already done, it's already finished, it's always available to you 24/7 at your beck and call. And so the realization that it's already done, and that when your name is inscribed upon it, no one else can claim it. You get to speak your word just as the Creator did in the beginning. And there is a manifestation. In fact, there's always something happening every time you speak a word. That energy goes out from you and links up with whatever other energy is at that same vibrational frequency and then comes right back to you, multiplied, intensified. So we have recognition, unification, and realization. And then that next most important ingredient in the recipe is an expression of gratitude, thanksgiving, appreciation. And I make a slight distinction in gratitude and appreciation. Think of appreciation, anything that is appreciated increases in its value. And so, you know, we get to speak our word here of appreciation, even though we are not tangibly experiencing the outcome, we're recognizing and honoring the fact that it is already done and it is already available to you, through you. And so here it is. God is the seed. God is the soil. God is the plant. God is all there is, regardless of form. All there ever was, all there ever could be. God is the eternal gardener, the cultivator of life. All that I am, that you are, God is, and all that God is, I am in limitless potential and infinite possibility. And what is true for me is true for you. As we center ourselves in consciousness, we realize that just as the full-blown oak tree is implanted in the little bitty oak, endowed, embedded, and implanted in each of us are the seeds of greatness, which may be as radiant health, harmonious relationships, abundance, creative self-expression, divine guidance, direction, and protection, divine and compelling right action. Breathe in. How great thou art. I proclaim this here and now, that you have already blossomed in the mind of God, that your harvest is ripe for the picking. And so I do decree and declare this right here and right now, that from day to day, from moment to moment, the harvest is ready. That the fragrance from the garden of your life permeates every aspect of your being. May the Spirit of the living God fall fresh upon you, upon the entire planet, as you now go into the rest of the day in joy and peace. See you next week as we continue our conversation on the critical voice.
Thank you for listening to Beauty Shop for the Soul with host Joanne Buckner here on Earth Angels Radio. For more information on Joanne, please visit earthangelsradio.com. You can also contact Joanne by email at ourbeautifulsouls@gmail.com or call her at 702-622-4937. What better way to transform than a day at the beauty shop? Beauty Shop for the Soul.